Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 338, recorded January 29th, 2012. Peanut butter and ladies. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMyPC. Take care of last-minute requests from anywhere, right from your iPhone, with the GoToMyPC app for iPhone. Visit GoToMyPC.com for your free 30-day trial. Use the promo code TWiT. And by FreshBooks, the easy online invoicing app for small businesses that saves time and gets you paid faster. Join over 3.5 million FreshBooks users and try the service free for 30 days of unlimited use at FreshBooks.com. Make sure you tell them you heard it on TWiT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. It's time for TWiT. Look at these great people assembled here all around me. I'm going to calm down a little bit. John C. Dvorak is back. We thought we'd bring you in before the Super Bowl so you could enjoy football next week.
Thank you, Leo.
You're welcome, John. ChannelDvorak.com and No Agenda Show.
ChannelDvorak.com. Yeah, No Agenda Show.
Anything else?
Yeah, Dvorak.org/blog.
Really?
You get a drink there that you can drink.
The real Dvorak.
And, you know, whatever. You'll find me here and there.
All right.
Look me up on Google.
Why not? What the hell? Also with us, Jolie Odell from VentureBeat.
Yeah, this time.
Last time, something else.
Yeah.
This time, no.
No, it was VentureBeat.
It's been VentureBeat all this year.
All year. Hello, yeah. Jolie. Great to have
Hello,
you.
Leo.
Jolie's
you.
New book is Android Photography, A Guide to Mobile Creativity. You know, I think this is great because everybody talks about iPhoneography.
Yeah.
And I think the new Android phones, I was just using the Galaxy Nexus. What do you use?
Well, I don't anymore. When I finished
Wait
that book,
minute.
I basically
You're
got
the one
rid of
who
my
told
phones.
Us she doesn't have a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote a book about cell phone photography.
Yes, a little
a
while
slight
after.
Irony there.
It is. After I finished that book, I got rid of my phones. I just was all phoned out.
I see.
You see?
It was the book that did it.
Perhaps, you know, now that I think about it.
Perchance.
But yeah. It's Jolie a fun book.
JolieOdell.com. Also here from across the pond, Will Harris. ChannelFlip.com. Did you do the little foot stamp when you did the side swipe?
Absolutely. How are you, Leo?
Good
to be here.
It's been a while. So, you were on TNT and we couldn't talk about it. So I thought I got to get him on now so we can talk about it. Will has flipped Channel Flip.
Yeah.
Who'd you sell it to?
We sold to a very cool company called Shine Group.
Shine Group.
It's a big production company, which is owned by News Corp.
Well, you sold it to Murdoch?
Yeah.
Wow. Good on you, mate. I hope you took him for a passel of money. That's awesome.
Well, they're a very exciting organization to be part of.
Yeah, you have to say that for now. How long do you have to say that for?
Yeah, I work for them too, you know.
Now they own my soul.
Are you still there? I mean, do you have to stick around for a while as a founder, right?
Oh, well, I think the cool thing about Shine is that they're a really high-quality production company, and they're actually going to help us make everything that we do a lot better.
Channel Flip is
it's getting started.
Channel Flip is a true IPTV play. Unlike TWiT, which is really kind of a geeks podcast network, you're doing like sitcoms and stuff like that.
Well, not so much sitcoms, but a lot of comedy stuff. We started doing some documentary stuff.
Real TV?
I would say so, except in sort of 3 and 5 minute segments. And so for us, the great thing about Shine is they make MasterChef and The Office and Ugly Betty and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, my God. Oh, I didn't know that. This is like a real production company.
Oh, okay. So they've got offices in like 25 countries or something.
They make the UK office or the American office?
They make The American Office. They own Reveille.
Which oh, Reveille, yeah.
Yeah. So they own that. So now we're like a sister company to Reveille. So that gives us quite a lot of opportunity to do some cool stuff.
How much money did you get?
it's not Kevin Rowe's money.
He's enjoined not to say. But I have to, but a full disclosure,
I thought I'd ask.
4 years ago when you started Channel Flip, you gave me some shares in it. And for which I thank you. And actually, at the lawyers
will be calling.
No, they already did. They couldn't sell it without my say so. And I said, yeah. And they sent me a check in December. So I received a little. We can't disclose. Apparently, I didn't know this. In fact, I am glad I asked Will. He says I'm not allowed to say. I'm enjoined from saying how much it is. But
well, how much is it?
I don't know. I can't say. what did we come up with?
Enough for a round of beers for the Twit crew.
More than that. But enough to party with MC Hammer, but not enough to party with Jay-Z, you said, yeah. Jolie. And I think that's probably about right.
That's somewhere in there.
I don't know what that means. But anyway, thank you. You Carpool is now a Channel Flip production.
Yes. And we've actually got a new show with Rob Llewellyn, who is well known to, you know, Crichton and Red Dwarf and Scrappy Challenge. A new show, which I think starts next month, which is all about electric cars and electric vehicles and clean energy.
He's really into that stuff. Carpool's watching.
He really loves that stuff.
What will do you know what the new show will be named?
Yeah, it's called Fully Charged.
Of course. How exciting. That's great. Yeah, Bobby's a wonderful guy. Please give him my regards.
I will do. Yeah, will do. He was out shooting here. Red Dwarf at the moment.
I know. He's got the rubber face back on. Anyway, Will, congratulations. I think that's great. It is just the beginning. I think that you're going to see mainstream media companies like Shine snap up new media companies.
You're rolling in dough. You don't care.
I actually don't want to sell because I like what I'm doing. But I do think that you're going to see a lot of this because they're saying, what is going on?
Yeah, we got to have a bubble. Come on,
what
people.
What the hell?
Let's bubble it up.
Yeah, I think.
Get the heck out of here.
I think that.
G4 is going to come knocking for you, Leo.
No, that's. Oh, God. Wouldn't that be awful? I did an April Fool's joke about 3 years ago. On April Fool's, I said I was so happy to be joining the G4 family, and they bought Twit, and it's just great news for everybody. And people believed me.
It's very remotely believable.
It is. That's why I did it for April Fool's.
Yeah.
It's distant.
If I would have spotted the date, I would have known it was bull crap.
You always do your April Fool's columns, and there's always a slurp-a-loof.
Slurp-a-loof. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to stop using that.
Everybody knows now. It's April Fool's backwards.
But it's usually deep in the column. It's usually the PR girl. Her name is Slurp-a-loof, and she says something stupid.
What is the key to a good April Fool's column?
Believability.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, you've done this too.
Oh,
yeah. We have so much fun in the newsrooms planning for our big April Fool's
pranks. I hate April Fool's so much.
It's so good.
I hate it because
you get to troll people.
I am. I'm a victim.
And the more people you troll, the more you laugh, the better it is. Not that I'm a troll.
What's your best April Fool's story? Do you remember?
Oh, you know, I can't remember.
John?
It's probably still ahead of me.
You know, I had. I'm actually in the Hoax Hall of Fame.
Really?
With the one I did about the getting drunk on the information superhighway.
You get in the Hoax Hall of Fame if the story that you write gets into Wikipedia.
Oh, that's interesting. The two that I liked the best, one I did one where they were going to change the name of Sioux City or Sioux Falls to Gateway City. And I had a bunch of documentation showing how this was going on around the country. People were taking money from large corporations to change their name, and this is based on changing Pac Bell Park to, you know, the Monster Stadium, whatever they call them. And that ran above the fold in the local paper in Sioux Falls.
Whoa.
Right at the top.
That's it. If you get somebody to pick it up legitimately.
They were all moaning and groaning about this column. But the better one was a bill they were going to pass that required people to be sober when they were using a modem, and then I made the assertion that these idiots in Congress didn't know what a modem was, and they just knew about information superhighway, and so they thought it was drunk driving, and they were crazy.
Oh, wow.
So
that's a great idea.
And then I named Leahy and two other senators, and they got tons of calls.
Of course.
Leahy was irked.
So this is my favorite new site. I found out about this. We were interviewing Clay Johnson about his book on an information diet, and it was all about like how to vet information, make sure that you eat good information, you know, wholesome information. And he pointed to this site. It's called gullible.info, and this guy just has fun making up facts that sound true.
Oh, yeah.
And he spends now a lot of time going to Wikipedia to delete this data that gets in because people believe it. For instance,
why bother?
I should do it. We should do a contest. This would be a great game show. I give you three facts. One of them is true. For instance, the title lyric of the old English carol, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, was originally a sexual innuendo. True or false?
Yes.
False.
No.
I was hoping.
The sale of 1% milk has declined nearly 26% since the beginning of the Occupy Wall Street protests.
A friend of mine runs a similar site.
What's one got to do with the other?
I know. 1%. Get it? Most of the world's French fries are neither French nor fried.
It's ridiculous.
That's pretty true.
Sounds true.
Pretty true, right?
Geneticists discovered in 2004 the human ability to see the color red stems from a genetic mutation that took place in a common ancestor 2 million years ago. Projections indicate that in another million years, red color receptors will be a recessive gene and appear only in a minority of humans.
I believe that.
I believe it, too. They actually, one of the facts that this guy made up, these are all made up. None of these are true. One of the facts this guy's made up consistently gets back into Wikipedia, which was that Timothy Leary claimed to have found a new color called Glendale. And it has appeared ever since in his biography, and people keep putting it back in. Did you know that Jude Law stipulates in his film contracts that none of his movies may be preceded in theaters by any previews in which he also appears? Not true. Anyway, enough. That's the fake news. Now we've got some real news. How about that? Big story. The big story of the week. We talked about a little bit on This Week in Google. Google announced that they have a new privacy policy and that they're going to unify data across all of their platforms. So what they know about you from watching YouTube will be added to Google Search, will be added to Gmail, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they announced a new privacy policy. In fact, if you haven't gone to Google.com lately, you might want to go because they'll say right at the beginning of it, we have a new privacy policy, and it's not the same old yada yada. Actually, I guess I've been there, so I'm not seeing it now. But see if you see it. It's not the same old yada yada.
Is that what it says?
Fair, you yada yada. Have to go to Google to get it. You get it if you log into Gmail.
Anything.
Email to me. If you log into Google Plus. If you go onto YouTube, it's like, oh my God, there's a new privacy policy. I know it's fine.
If you want to read a really bad one, go look at the new one from CNBC.
I can only imagine. Mm-hmm. So, Washington Post. Before the policy came out, really cried wolf on this. The Fox News said in capital letters, be afraid. People have been just going crazy. Even Extreme Tech wrote an article about how Google's new policy has no opt-out, and all of a sudden the Google is evil. Agree?
You know, we knew this was coming for a long time. Ever since Google Plus launched, I went to Google and said, okay, what's your big strategy with this? Surely it's more than a dinky little social network, and they said,
the next door quit.
Well, no, it was their plan was to unify all Google web products under one umbrella, right, so that you have one identity that you use everywhere, you have one login, you have one privacy policy, and I think that what they're doing with this privacy policy, and they've whitewashed it, which is their job. You know, they want to make sure that the web is personalized for you and that you can share with everybody, but what if you don't want personalized content? What if you don't want the sharing? What if I don't want my personal life and my social life to be dragged onto the internet wherever I go? Is the problem. So you have to log out of Google and stop using Google web products, which is inconvenient, but you know, it's not like we don't have other options.
I should talk about a couple of things here. One is the some of the new technologies being used to track you, namely IP tracking. That's instead of putting cookies on your machine, There's databases of IP addresses, and they can just all subscribe
easy
to it.
You don't need a cookie.
Yeah, cookies are bogus.
All I need to know is maybe a half dozen parameters about your browser, what versions of things you're running, and I can tell exactly who you are.
Now, the thing that's out there is people should look at is a product called Ghostery.
Yes.
Ghostery.com.
It's a Firefox plugin.
Yeah.
Actually, it works on Chrome.
It roams.
As well.
It works on all the browsers. Yeah. And what it does is it sees who's doing what to you. And then it gives you kind of a quasi report. And you'll find a lot of these sites that seem innocuous, or they have a jillion trackers on you. And Google's like one of the least of the, least problematic.
They don't need to track you because they're everywhere on the internet.
That's true.
Google Analytics is one of the things that will show up when
that
you use
that shows up
Ghostery.
Constantly on Ghostery.
And we use Google Analytics. Actually, I'm proud to say that on twit.tv, I think there's three Ghostery items. But it's hard. Look, every website you go to is almost certainly logging your IP address. If it has ad banners, the company that serves those ad banners, Google, DoubleClick, or whoever, is also able to track you from site to site. This is going on. And
well, that's part of the disgusting commercialization of the internet. And that's one thing. But the other thing is your personal life and your social life, your intellectual life, which are very different from what you do online. Sometimes you just need to be anonymous. And when I talked to Bradley Horowitz at Google, one of the last times I was there, I was like, Bradley, it seems like you are making us log in to do everything so you can track us everywhere. What if you don't want that? And he gave me the indication that you were going to be able to anonymously and pseudonymously use Google products. And I am starting to feel like
that's a lie.
I was lied to.
Yeah.
I think
just
it's
a
really
little bit. I'm so pissed off about that.
It's sort of making Google into not a series of disparate products, but a like one sort of holistic googly experience. And so there was a really interesting quote from I think it was last week that that Larry Page was saying, you know, if you're to internally to Google employees, if you're not on board with Search Plus Your World and this new
get
direction,
out of here, he said,
know,
yeah,
get out of here.
Yeah.
What was also interesting was that he referred to a number of times and in previous speeches over the last few weeks has talked a lot about how he wants Google to be a beautiful experience. And that's not something that we've ever really associated with Google before. And I think it's quite clear that he started thinking, in my mind, it's like the productization of the Google experience, if that's a real word. It's like making all these disparate Google bits into one place that you sort of come together, or one experience that's all like Google Search is the hub in the same way that Facebook Wall is your hub, but all the rest of it is all unified on LinkedIn.
On the one hand, of course, Google is a private company, not private, publicly held, but they're a corporation. They're entitled and, in fact, I think probably
obliged
fiduciarily to make as much money as they can.
Fiduciarily?
Is that a word? I don't think it's a word. It is their fiduciary responsibility to return a profit to the stakeholders. Mm. On the other hand, we do expect, I think, a little more of Google for a couple of reasons. One, don't be evil is supposedly their motto. I think we could throw that one out.
That's ridiculous.
They said it, but obviously it's no longer true.
Corporations are neither evil nor not evil. They're just corporations. They are profit-driven. However, you piss off your users, your advertisers go where the users go.
Right.
And they are linked.
And I think because they run the search engine that is what fuels travel on the internet. Without a good search engine, without Google, the internet doesn't work. We expect more of them. They're almost a public service. They're almost a public service. And if you think, I can go use Bing, Bing's doing this already as well. They're combining Facebook with Bing results. I don't think Bing's any less of a unified experience. Google, I do praise them for at least publishing a unified privacy policy. I mean, that's a big step forward. It's in plain English. You can at least see what Google's doing. They do something that nobody does, which I think is fantastic, which is the Google dashboard. You can go to google.com/dashboard and see what they know about
it. Is your machine flipping around, bouncing around on this?
Yeah, it's not
What's
very
happened
flat.
To it?
Well, it's not a flat table.
You sure it's the table?
Well, it could be the
or your machine.
Could be
your
warped.
MacBook Air is warped.
Nah, I don't think so. I think it's the table.
Oh, no.
See, look. You know the guy? Oh, never mind. So I can see my dashboard. I can see exactly what they know about me. And that's good. And they, as they point out, you could log out of your Google account and continue to use Google, some Google tools, not all, but you could watch videos on YouTube. You could search on Google without anything being saved about you. So I think that given that they are a company designed to make money.
You can also use Scroogle for your search engine.
You could use Scroogle. If you're on Safari, you can use private browsing.
You could use an encyclopedia and read the newspaper.
Huh?
Private browsing works on Firefox, too.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I
like
think
on
they're
Chrome, on Firefox, on Safari,
and I would point out,
and you can private browse on anything, right?
If you don't want to be in this thing,
you can try and opt out of it at the Google end, but you can just opt out of it at the client end, just use a browser and support cookies.
But here's the problem: you can opt out all you want from these services. Your internet service provider, you can't opt out from, and they can collect everything you're doing. And in fact, are
by law, I think they have
required
to
required by the law to save 2 years of it for the FBI at FBI request. So maybe we trust the government more than we trust Google. I know you don't, but
of course not.
but see, at least you know what Google's motivations are. You never know what the government's motivations are.
Profit.
Well, profit.
Yeah.
What is the government motive? We don't know.
Profit.
Well, who knows what it is?
That's intelligent.
Who knows how they interpret that? So. I think the thing to remind people is privacy policy or not, dashboard or not, your data is being collected about you every time you step out onto the internet. You're in public, so you might as well act as if you're in public.
It's just so depressing.
And if
so
you don't
depressing.
Like it, read the newspaper. You're right.
Well, yes. I mean, it's enough to make me want to put on my tinfoil hat and go into a cabin.
Or do as I do and just go, blah.
What?
Blah. Here it all is.
Sorry, what is it?
Oh, you mean you are transparent.
I'm letting it all hang out. I hide nothing.
Oh, really? Then how much did you get that check for?
I can't. You know what? I wish I could. I would tell you. I don't care. But unfortunately, I didn't know this, and it's good you told me. I'm contractually required to not to say that.
You remember?
And
it's you didn't read the kind of thing that you signed?
I didn't read, of course. Mm-hmm. But this is why I don't sign NDAs. I don't sign embargoes, because I don't know what I can say or not. And so normally...
I make a big fuss about not signing this stuff. It turns out that, I mean, I'll agree to embargoes orally because I'm fine with it, but I won't sign these documents. And if I was
there. Me neither. I think it's journalistically.
I think it's corrupt.
It's slightly corrupt. However, I'm pretty sure, Will, I turned you down when you offered me these shares and you sent them to me anyway. It's your fault.
That's probably true.
I'm very grateful, to be honest with you. I'm very grateful because it is. It was a surprise, and it came at the right time.
Sounds like it was a chunk of money.
Well, it was enough to buy some presents.
Presents?
For all my loved ones.
I didn't get anything.
And there's quite a few of those. But in general, and by the way, I am donating more than half of it to a charity.
Oh, brother.
Which charity?
Most of it to our school,
which is a nonprofit. That's nice.
And then we donate. Actually, Twit has some local charity. We try to donate locally because I want to support local groups. Sorry, I even brought that up.
Back to the news.
You do have a choice, Jolie. You could either withdraw. The problem is, you can't use a credit card. You can't. You know, you got a lot.
Oh well, I mean, going completely off the grid isn't an option.
In Britain, you can't walk down the street because there's a camera every 5 feet.
Well, that's definitely
true. I mean, suppose on the internet there are parts of your personal life that you would like to keep off of it. Google is making it increasingly difficult to establish
those
borders.
Then don't share those online. Don't use Facebook.
Email your girlfriend or boyfriend.
Well, you can use email.
From Gmail?
You can use encrypted email. Use encryption.
Try telling that to the average dude.
Encryption in like everyday life. Like, really?
I know.
I know where Jamie's coming from. Like, it's all very well saying, okay, you know, if you're not comfortable with all these privacy controls, don't, you know, put all this private stuff online. But, you know, the government expects you to do your taxes online these days.
They are encouraging that.
Private thing you can get.
Right.
Like, you know, all the sort of, health and social services and all this kind of stuff is all existing online. We're moving to a world where you have to be online and everything has to be online. So actually, you know, to Jolie's point, how much choice do you really have if you have to be online and all the major places that you're going to be online are going to keep all this data about you?
I guess it's true. If you decide to withdraw, good luck getting a job.
Yeah. It's like you really don't have much of a choice.
Job?
You could bag groceries.
Not a great job.
Well, you have a great job, and you could do fine without being online.
Oh, God. What do you mean? My whole job is online.
Well, I'm just...
what are you talking about?
But you could have
the
same job.
You have a beautiful voice, Leo.
So I could not be online. I could tell stories.
You have to put an email address.
You could do NPR. You've got a great NPR voice.
We're going to have reading group tonight, and I will read to you.
I think this is what you should do.
What?
What you just described.
A reading group?
You should give up on this crap.
You could be the next LeVar Burton.
I should. Reading Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
I could wear special little sunglasses. No, I think that I don't mind being online, and I don't mind that the people know about me, and I'm usually pretty forthright about what is going on in my life. And so, the only restriction, unfortunately, I have to place is when other people get involved, like, for instance, Will here, who is not allowed to say what this company sold for, so I can't. Or my family members. I mean, it's not for me to decide what's public about my family life. But for me, I got nothing to hide.
And it's interesting. I mean, I think one of the things that we keep coming up against is like the age thing, where if you have the same conversation with a bunch of teenagers, I'm pretty sure you'll just get absolutely nonplussed looks of meh.
Do you think they care?
That's true. I
or
agree.
Don't
yeah.
They don't give it. They don't give a monkey.
They don't care.
I don't think they see the consequences.
Yeah, that's true.
Teenagers and consequences are like peanut butter and ladies. They just don't mix.
Really? Yeah. Ladies don't like peanut butter
and ladies?
Well, I mean, I stole that line from a film.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good line.
Thank you.
I would say that's utterly not the case. If there were two things that would mix really well, I would say peanut butter and ladies.
Your kink is not my kink, man.
It depends on the lady.
And I think we have a show title. We'll be right back with more with Jolie O'Dell. It's great to have you. John C. Dvorak, Will Harris, and I'm Leo Laporte. You know everything about me. This show brought to you by our good friends at GoToMyPC. Citrix makes it. It's a great tool for remote access. And, you know, it gets better and better because it gets more and more portable. I want you to go to the site, GoToMyPC.com, and take a look at it. Because now GoToMyPC works on the iPhone. It's worked for years on Mac and PC. You put it on your office computer or your home computer, whatever computer you want to access. And then wherever you go, you can get to that computer via computer, of course, iPhone, iPad, Android phone. It's kind of amazing. The scenario, you might think about is you're on your way home. Here's one. You're on your way to the airport and you just realize, oh, crap, I forgot my PowerPoint presentation. You could do what we used to do, turn around, miss your flight. Or you can keep on going, whip out your iPhone when you get to the airport, and download it using GoToMyPC. It's like having your work computer in your pocket. So whenever you need to get on to the computer, you can just log in on your Mac, your iPad, your Windows machine, your iPhone, your Android phone, your Android tablet. There's your computer. You can run any – you see the desktop. You can run any program, send and receive email. All your network resources are available. You can even transfer from one machine to the other, edit PowerPoints even, or Keynote presentations, update spreadsheets, work on any file, all from your iPhone or your iPad. Very easy to set up, so much so that I'm going to give you a chance to do that right now. You don't need help from IT department. You don't need to port forward. You don't need to do anything. Just visit the website. GoToMyPC.com. Click the orange Try It Free button. Use the promo code TWIT. And you've got 30 days free of unlimited use. They used to, when we first started advertising, they'd give you an hour. I said, wait, no. I want a month from my people. I want a month of unlimited use. They said, of course. And so now you can try it for 30 days. Just do it all the time. And you'll see it's so incredible. The app for the iPhone, the iPad, all these apps, they're free. And the trial is free, too. Go to mypc.com. Use the offer code TWIT. And give it a try today. Now, iPhone, Android, iPad, it's just fantastic. New CEO at RIM. They needed to get rid of those clowns, right?
Yeah, apparently.
They had a dual CEO thing. John's mic's not on. There it is. Okay.
Hello.
Well, you know the old saying: better an idiot you know than an idiot you don't know.
So now this new CEO, they got rid of Mike Lazard. What is his name?
There was a duel.
There were two. They were co-CEOs.
Yeah, co-CEOs, which is always a bad idea.
This is causing interference on my headphones.
This thing?
You unplugged my headphones. Wait a minute. Hold on.
What could I have possibly have done?
You put a giant bird.
It's a tiny little bird.
You put a giant bird on my headphones.
It's an angry bird.
Somebody made a picture of me. I look just like that, by the way. I have to find that. With chat room, if you got the link to that angry bird picture of me, let me know and I'll post it. Because I got the eyebrows.
Oh, my God. You
kind
really
of.
Holy moly.
You don't want to see me angry. Hello. It's on my Facebook. I'll find it. Mike Lazaridis and Jim Balsillie.
Yeah, there we go. There's professionalism at work.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Balsillie.
Balsillie.
Balsillie. And
Balsillie?
They're gone. Mike and Jim are gone. Now the new CEO is Thorsten Heinz.
Oh.
He will run it very well. He was former chief operating officer. Uh-huh. And he has immediately said, I am going to license the BlackBerry software to anyone who wants it.
Really?
And nobody called. This is, I think the wrong way to do it.
If you pay him, he won't license it.
People
That's the
cool say,
thing.
Oh, he said, literally, is this nuts? This is where BlackBerry RIM doesn't get their problem. Oh, my solution, I will fix the company. Anyone who wants to use the BlackBerry OS on their phone can use it.
Is this your, Werner Herzog voice?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's obvious that the thing they should do is completely the opposite. They should start leasing either Android or Windows Phone 7 and start making BlackBerries that use the other software. Is that right?
I think the first interview that Thorsten gave, he was like, basically, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with the company. There's no real problem. You know, we've got a product issue, and if we just fix the product. And there was this massive sort of outcry at the beginning of last week of just like, oh my God, has this guy got a clue? And now the Financial Post is new CEO vows dramatically different strategy. And he's completely like in the space.
You sound like the Nokia guy.
Sort of nothing to see here to, oh, it's all going to completely change.
But
this guy's the COO, so he's been in the middle of the complete.
They needed somebody from the outside, right?
Of the last couple of years anyway. So you surely need somebody new.
Right.
I mean, everybody says they know how to solve BlackBerry's problem, but I mean...
Well, I don't know if I know how to solve it, but clearly offering to license our software to other hardware manufacturers is not the way to make a lot of money. He says, at the very core of RIM is our innovation. We always think ahead. We always think forward. Sometimes we think the unthinkable.
Which is what?
I don't know.
It sounds much more horrifying with that accent.
Yeah. He also said...
exactly.
Ah, we are thinking the unthinkable. He put out a YouTube video to say this, by the way.
Shoot all users.
Now, see, I think I would disagree with you that the new CEO, relatively new CEO at Nokia, actually did the right thing, which is say we're going to make Windows mobile phones. Don't you think that's going to save Nokia? You should see this 900 is gorgeous.
Really
I have the 800, which is the 900 without the W, without
G4. The 900 is bigger and has a front-facing camera and has 4G. I think the 900 is spectacular. It's great, isn't it? And
you don't even have a phone. Played with it. I've played with them.
She's given up on phones.
Right. Yeah, phones are BS. So, no, I've played with them, and they're absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous.
I think it's really funny
to see. And here's why I'm like kind of, whatever, RIM. Because you see, you know, we always kind of thought Windows Mobile was going to be in the dustbin.
Right.
Nokia definitely in the dustbin.
Right.
Yet here they come back to life like these Lazarus companies with these beautiful, beautiful, very competitive looking and feeling products. So I'm not really willing to write RIM off yet. They still have a very strong presence in the enterprise. They are a legacy product. So I'm not going to poop all over them yet.
Use their navigator and see what you think.
Well, I agree. You mean that Avi thing? Yeah, that's...
Well, I'm telling you, I was parked in front of the address. For one thing, I was going to Oakland. So I said, well, let me take the 800. It's got a navigator. So right. It's starting to take me on a wild goose chase. And I said, wait a minute. I know where this place is because I already looked on the map. I went there. Then I punched the number in again thinking it may have been some misspelling. And I punched it in. It showed me I was on York Street. It showed me where I was on the map. I put the address in, which I was standing in front of, and it says, okay, take off. It took me around the block and dropped me off on another street a block away. I'm thinking, what kind of – this is terrible. The Google Navigator is – the Android Navigator with the little picture at the end is the best thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's what you're competing against.
Capen in the chat room has a really good point, which is – nobody really wants to license the RIM operating system, but what if you could license the RIM email server technology integrated to like iPhone, right?
Yeah. I agree. That's a product.
That's a product. And the messenger as well, BBM, that everybody uses, that people are obsessed by.
Yes.
If you could integrate BBM and BES into iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, now that would be a business.
I agree. And we're not talking about QNX or OS 6. We're talking about the server end. Why do people use BlackBerry? Because of BBM?
Pretty much.
Yeah. And because of the secure server, businesses like it.
If you're a consumer, you love, you know, if you're a teenager, you love BBM because it's instant chat. If you're a business, you love BES because it's secure email.
Right.
And there's all this conversation around bring your own device stuff for the enterprise, and all the conversation around mobile enterprise is about security. And I think that RIM definitely has a leg up there.
But if you're bringing your own phone, this is what happened, unfortunately, to RIM. RIM was always the phone the boss gave you. But if you got to bring your own phone, you wouldn't bring – you'd bring an iPhone or an Android phone. That's
and then
what
you're
happened.
Using consumer apps, and there's FUD or not FUD. There's a concern about insecurity.
Right.
Not like, oh, do I look fat in this phone? But like, is this phone going to crash, you know, my employer?
Of course, now we know that the BlackBerry already – or RIM already gave the back end access – to at least a couple of countries.
Did he now?
You.
Okay.
Yes, they did.
All right.
All right. We're going to move on. God. John Rubenstein is leaving HP. He was, he didn't, you know what? I'm not sure this is another guy we would trumpet his great success. He was at Palm. He, when Palm was running Palm, when HP bought WebOS, ran the WebOS division, was responsible for the touchpad. You can't, you know, this guy had a huge reputation. He was at Apple, right? And then went off to do Sidekick, right? And he had a huge reputation. And everything he's touched since then has just turned to rim.
It's funny. There's a lot of guys that worked at Apple. You see this at Microsoft guys, too. They leave Microsoft and they go someplace else, or they leave Apple and they go someplace else, and they don't have quite the supports or social structure that they were used to rely on, and then now they're on their own. And very few of them are successful.
That's interesting. So it's not necessarily his fault, but because he wasn't in the proper environment. He had so much help from Apple.
You don't know sometimes when you're in a company because you got one guy making the minor suggestion every once in a while who just so happens to be the perfect suggestion for you at that moment, and you don't pay much attention to it. And
you're saying they're just cogs in machines?
Yeah, essentially. But these are big machines that work a certain way, and there are a lot of creative people in there, but that doesn't mean that they can be creative on their own.
That's
this is like
point.
The freelance writer versus the guy who has to work in a big newspaper.
All things D's, John Pachowski asked him, do you regret selling to HP? He said, I don't have anything to do with it. He said,
God bless him.
He said, this wasn't something where I had an opinion. The process was carefully crafted, as all acquisition processes are. HP won. I don't get an opinion on the subject. I never did. That sounds HP.
He's bitter. That's a big comment of a bitter person.
He was not where he wanted
also
to be.
Also says to The Verge, he says, The Verge asks him, you don't want to talk about Leo Apotheker. And he says, you know what? We ended up at HP and HP wasn't in a good enough shape to be able to support us. I had four CEOs. Mark Hurd acquired us. Then Kathy Les Jack took over as the interim CEO. Then Leo Apotheker. Then Meg Whitman.
Horrible.
In the space of 19 months.
Yeah.
Four CEOs in 19 months.
All Things D said, what went wrong with the touchpad? Rubenstein says, well, it wasn't exactly given much time to find out, but I really don't want to rehash all that. He's bitter.
He's really phoning it in for that interview. Good grief. Yeah.
That's bitter. It could have been done on email.
He could have been drunk. Who knows?
He could have been.
So he says he's going to spend time with his family, but he's not retiring. I'm sure he has some money, but he's not going to retire. He's thinking about what he wants to do next. He says, who knows what I'll do? Anything's possible. I don't think he's going to be a hot commodity, but maybe.
Well, it depends.
That's the saddest interview, man.
You never know.
You got to feel for the guy. He's absolutely right. We'll hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I feel really sorry for him. He's probably totally impoverished right now. No options, no nothing.
So, I really doubt that.
I know, right?
I think he's partying with
poor
Jay-Z.
Guy's going to
I think he's having a
death.
Great time. I think
he's
he made millions of dollars.
Begging for money. He's going to be out there with a cup.
Feel sorry. I don't think so.
Anywho. Let's talk about something that's been going on for a long time in Silicon Valley. Apparently, it's very common practice for tech companies to have deals, side deals, sometimes unwritten side deals with other tech companies, not to hire their employees. So, for instance, Steve Jobs was angry when Google tried to hire an Apple employee. He called Eric Schmidt. Schmidt said, whoa, we have an agreement that we will never poach Apple employees. And he said, fire the guy who tried to recruit the Apple engineer.
Publicly. Make an example
publicly.
Of him.
Google's staffing director responded, the employee who contacted the Apple engineer will, quote, be terminated within the hour. Please extend my apologies as appropriate to Steve Jobs. And they wanted a public flogging for the guy who dared to recruit somebody from Apple.
It's disgusting.
Now, this is illegal, and I didn't know this until I talked to a cousin who is a attorney, a law professor at Harvard, and an expert on this. In fact,
this is so illegal. It's money in the bank for this employee.
This guy is a antitrust expert, and he's apparently done a lot of expert testimony in this kind of thing. It violates antitrust law. You cannot.
No, you can't do that.
Collude. So,
well,
for
then
instance,
why did
I
they
said
have? Didn't
Jim
they all sign anti-poaching agreements a couple, maybe a year ago, maybe 2 years ago? But Google and Apple and a couple of the other big companies got together and signed agreements.
I think they just did it orally.
Here's what.
Because if you had a signed agreement, you could pull that out. These guys are in
serious
trouble.
There's smoking guns all left and right. There's emails. The court, the reason, now this was settled a couple of years ago with the Department of Justice. The employees involved are now filing a class action lawsuit. So all of the documents have been unsealed. And among other things, you've got Paul Ottolini of Intel, CEO of Intel, saying, writing in an email, let me clarify, we have nothing signed. We have a handshake, no recruit between Eric Schmidt and myself. I would not like this broadly known. They know perfectly well it's
what
illegal.
What has Intel got to do with Google in the first place?
Well, the reason you don't want, you just don't want salaries to ratchet up because
it's like fixed, yeah.
Yeah, it's fixing the value of an engineer. So a good engineer who normally in a free market would be able to say, you want to pay me more? I'm yours. Can't do that because these companies are saying, no, I'm not allowed to talk to you.
Yeah, and these companies are the same ones that moan and groan about, oh, we can't find anybody, so bring an H-1B in from India. They're going to work cheap.
They're cheap.
Well, it's as if you can't find anybody that isn't already working for somebody else.
Right. No wonder you can't find anybody.
No, this sort of thing is very annoying.
This is some union talk.
Pixar is involved in this. Apple, Adobe, Intuit, Intel, Google, all named in this class action lawsuit.
I love the way that Intuit Good. Is named. Like, they're the same. It's like,
well, you know why?
It's a mail order company. Today,
like, I can tell you why. Guys. It's interlocking board of directors. So Bill Campbell, who was president of Intuit, is on Apple's board.
Right.
Eric Schmidt is on Apple's board. It's all interlocking directorates. And that's what happens is these guys, after the board meeting, they get together, they have a couple of drinks, and I won't hire you guys. You don't hire my
It's closer
guys.
To the truth than you can imagine.
You've been there.
Well, I've seen it.
And I'll tell you another thing.
You're a good guy.
I love you.
You know, you're a good guy. You're just great. Yeah.
I remember we hired somebody from Revision 3, and Jim Latterback was a little irate. He was pretty irate.
Who was this?
I won't say.
Come on.
He said, you're poaching my employees. And I said, yes. And it would be just as illegal if I said to Jim Latterback, oh, sorry, I won't hire anybody from Revision 3 again. And you may not hire anybody from Twit again.
Yeah, but what's the point? You guys aren't even in the same zip code by any means. I mean, you're up here in the middle of nowhere.
I don't believe the law requires you to be in the same zip code. Yes. But my point would be, well, if you want to keep an employee, pay him more. But this is exactly what these guys don't want to do.
No. Cheap.
Cheap.
They pay themselves more, I might add.
So.
Now they're all guessing in the chat room who it might be.
Oh,
Veronica, Eileen, Tom,
well
Sarah.
They know exactly. I've hired some of my best people from competing companies. Almost all of them.
They're not really competing with you anyway.
No, we're all friends. Jim wasn't mad for very long.
Uh-huh.
The Apple says we care about every single employee who makes any Apple product, but they are getting a lot of heat now. I think it's unfair to single out Apple. I think every bit of gear that we buy today is made by the same Chinese employees in the same factories,
Foxconn
and Shenzhen factories.
Yeah, the two or three of them.
But the Times is all over Apple for this. Mm-hmm. Talking about the fact that, for instance, workers assembling iPhones, iPads, and other devices labor in harsh conditions, excessive overtime, some cases 7 days a week, live in crowded dorms. Some say they stand so long their legs swell until they can hardly walk. Underage workers help build Apple's products. Apple did take, I think, appropriate step by finally disclosing their suppliers. They weren't even doing
well. That was several weeks ago or a couple weeks ago that Apple disclosed its list of suppliers, and along with it a fairly detailed report on each kind of abuse they found in each factory that they visited. And I was surprised that, you know, there were some that had indentured type labor. They had slave labor and child labor.
Oh, that's interesting.
I was surprised, not too surprised, that they didn't immediately sever any business relationship with all those plants that were employing people that way. But, well, I mean, again, they're a business. There's no morality.
I don't think it's possible.
That's where the Times jumps in and they start talking about this.
Well, they made a human story out of it.
Right.
Which I think I was reading it and I'm seeing these statistics. Like, there are explosions, there's child labor, there are people involved, which Apple can't afford to think about.
Tim Cook writes, some people are questioning Apple's values today. Any suggestion that we don't care is patently false and offensive to us, as you know better than anyone. And he's writing to the Apple employees. Accusations like this are contrary to our values. It's not who we are. So the question is, what are they going to do about it? And I think you're right, John. They don't. Here's what I'd love Apple to do. We've talked about this a little bit before. I would love them to offer products as a choice. They don't have to make them all this way. But say you could buy an iPhone for 25% more. You could buy an iPhone made in the U.S.
Like organic fruit and fair trade diamonds?
Exactly.
Okay, I think it's patently false and offensive for Apple to suggest that that company or any technology company has any kind of morality at all or any values other than make it cheap, make a shit ton of them, excuse my language, and sell them to everybody you can. Those are their values. They don't care. No one can.
So you're saying that when Google says do no evil, when Apple says
it doesn't
we have
mean a
values,
damn thing.
You don't believe it.
It's all
it.
PR. And it is what it is. You know what? In America, 200 years ago, we had the same labor conditions. Now we don't.
It's true.
And we can't, as we've previously discussed, live our lives without computers and phones and microphones and whatever else you want to buy. All of this stuff comes from China. All of it's made in this way. Why are we so surprised that there are human stories behind it?
But
why does it take a human story to get us pissed off?
Well,
that bothers me.
Because we've known the truth is, I think every single person who buys products made in China knows, in their heart of hearts, that these standards are the American standards are probably not applied to Chinese workers.
But I think
we don't
your idea about
know.
Made in America iPhones, like that's a good
Let's
idea.
Let's give us an opportunity. There have been
People
studies
would pay
that
more
say
for that.
There have been studies that say it wouldn't cost as you know.
It costs very little more. But I'll be to be honest about it. Let me ask you just a gratuitous question. Would you rather buy a Lexus made in South Carolina or a Lexus made just outside of Tokyo in the Tokyo plant?
Well, but I don't think Tokyo Japanese workers are mistreated, are they?
No, I'm just asking this question.
The Tokyo plant because I like the robots.
You like the no? You like the quality?
Is there a difference?
Oh yeah. What do you think?
I'll be honest. When I bought my Lexus in 2001, I did not inquire.
It was probably made in Japan.
I think it was made in Japan. But I did not inquire. And maybe I should have inquired, but I didn't even think to inquire.
But I have to say, I haven't seen a massive... Because, I mean, Apple used to make their stuff in the States.
Steve Jobs very famously insisted on that.
Drop-off in quality.
Yeah. No, Steve insisted.
He didn't insist that hard.
This is the story in the biography. How he had to paint the... All the machines were painted. There was one that was painted blue that never worked right again. That he had... He bought very expensive furniture. He had these American factories. The original Apples were made in America. I believe the original Macs were made for a long time in America. So he might have cared, but I think when the problem is when you need to make 50 million of them, you can't make them.
Or people are specializing in phones.
Yeah.
One of the points that was being made, and I think that there sort of came out that Steve Jobs made to Obama was that. You can't. You can add the cost of the labor and say in the cost of the components and say, okay, it's going to cost you, 10% or 20% more to make these things in America. What you can't do is have a production line that will just kind of run with sort of half a minute's notice and just absolutely churn through these things in the same way that you can in the Far East, because the labor laws mean, you won't be able to work like 13-hour shifts or 16-hour shifts and be able to work, 7 days a week, 24/7. And then it's only by the sort of Eastern manufacturing processes, so the story goes, that Apple can have these amazing sort of time to markets of, design something and
yes,
have it.
It's not just profit. It's time to market, isn't
it? Well, there's that, but there's also one element. I'll back up Jolie on this, which is the Chinese are actually probably selling stuff for more than we know about. I mean, they can make stuff incredibly cheap over there. And at some point, it comes to the board and somebody says, because somebody will present them with this, and they say, look, you can be making an extra $10 an iPhone, and we're selling 30 million of them.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money. And why are we making them here? And that you have to, and you're the CEO or whoever, and you have to answer that question.
We got to make
because they got child labor over there.
And it comes to your point about, you have a responsibility, a fiduciary responsibility to your shareholders.
Yeah,
when someone
shows
you a graph with a line that goes a little bit higher, you say yes to China.
But you could also, and this is the thing, is it's not a clear-cut decision because, as you pointed out, making customers happy is also a fiduciary responsibility. If customers are saying to
they're happy, give me
now,
a break.
But that's why we need to raise awareness.
Apple put out this big report like, oh, we know this is going on and we're working with companies to remediate
to be
these
unhappy.
Things. That was a big PR piece, whatever. Yeah. I don't know if they're doing anything or what they're doing, but... only because Apple sells so much product and buys so much product from China can they put pressure on those companies to change. And can they amplify any pressure workers might be putting on employers to change working conditions? But this goes back to like labor law.
Right.
We're indignant. We're Americans. We're extremely privileged. We didn't have these labor laws 200 years ago, or, you know, some of them even 70 years ago.
No, that's true.
Well, someone in the chat room mentioned Upton Sinclair, and yeah, I think we need an Upton Sinclair for this.
The jungle.
But it's not going to be New York
Times.
But
that's why I think the Apple would say, we're going to stay in these countries and we're going to push for improved labor laws. We're raising the standards of living, and now we want to raise the standards of labor in China and the countries that we work in. Brazil, for instance, they just built a new plant in Brazil. And that it's like that old, we'll change the system from within. We're better off being there and impacting it.
Do you change the system or do you integrate it and become part of it?
Well, it's probably very tempting.
Are we enabling the system?
It's probably very tempting to be to say, we'll just take the profits. But I know what you're saying, but I do also think, yes, corporates are amoral, but they're made of people who are moral and who do have values. And so I think it's...
Some.
I'm not saying all. I think there's this Smithers. What is his name? Yes, Smithers. I think
Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns.
There's a Mr.
Excellent.
Burns in many companies.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Intel makes all its chips in the U.S. I'm pretty sure.
But there's a lot to do with security laws in this country. There's a lot of laws that are put in place by the NSA and the CIA about certain kinds of chips can't really be made someplace else. So, and I don't think they make all their chips
in the U.S. Good conversation.
By the way.
We're going to talk more. How much would you pay to get in on the Facebook IPO? We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, let me talk to the small business owners out there. Running your own business is fun.
It's hilarious.
It's a laugh a minute. I enjoy. What are you showing there? Hello. There's nothing there. There's just a bird. I enjoy running my own business, but there are some things I do not enjoy, especially when I first started. I did not enjoy invoicing. But as we all know, if you do not bill, you do not get paid. And that's why in 2004, when Amber MacArthur told me about FreshBooks, I jumped. And I love it, and I've used it ever since. It's the easy online invoicing service for small business. It saves you time. More importantly, gets you paid more quickly. Over 3.5 million FreshBooks users know. You could try the service free for 30 days of unlimited use right now at FreshBooks.com. So here's the deal. Creating the invoices, you could do it in Word. I mean, a lot of you have ways to do this. FreshBooks, you upload your logo. They've got great software. It handles all the currencies, by the way, which is great. But even if you say, well, I can do all that, here's the beauty part. You email your invoice. Your customers can print it as a PDF. If you pay an additional fee, FreshBooks will also print, stamp, and mail it as well. But you want them to do the invoicing via email because there's a button on the invoice that says pay right now. And your clients can press that button and play with a credit card. They can even set it up, and you can set it up so you automatically invoice and automatically get paid. It is really the way to make invoicing streamlined, fast, and efficient. There's automatic features like if you don't get paid, you can have a 30, 60, 90-day response that's automatic. If you do time and hours, your timesheets are automatically entered into the invoice. They have an app for the iPhone. They have a web-based app as well. There's just so many nice features. I want you to try it free right now. 30 days of unlimited use. All the features, clients, staff, everything, no limits. Just by signing up at FreshBooks.com. Tell them you heard about it on Twitter if they ask. It's not advertised on the site. This is something that we do for you here. It's some inside information. But if you sign up right now, they will not charge you for 30 days of unlimited use. So sign up for everything, all the features, all the clients. Try it all free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com. I'm a big fan. Fortunately, I have people to do that for me now. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Boy, that was a pain. Facebook. Now, it's a rumor. It's been in the Wall Street Journal. It's been in the New York Times. But Facebook supposedly will file an IPO. You know how I know this is true?
How?
I saw a post, I think it was on Path, from Loic Lemur, the world-famous French entrepreneur.
Your buddy.
My bud. Nothing. Go ahead.
What?
He's biting an orange. My bud.
How else you get the orange started?
No, that's the only way.
Fingernails, yeah.
Just bite right
in. There's a couple people I know that when I do that, they get grossed out or they start to get the shivers.
I'm shaking. No, I don't care. Go
ahead.
Some
people seem to.
You know why? Because there's a. Isn't there an explosive juice in the rind? Can't you like light it on fire and the?
No, that's orange peel oil. It's really delicious.
And they use it to kill termites.
You can spray it on ants with a little take a match and then you squeeze the thing and then the sprays go out and burns and the ants catch on fire.
You did that
with the kid when I was a kid.
Wow. Now we know a little bit about
John. I think
John.
We need to take a break.
Oh, my God. We just took a break, so we're going to come back. Okay. So I was talking about Facebook, right?
A blood orange.
Yeah, you know what?
Oh,
I was at Facebook not yesterday.
You can tell
before.
Me your anecdote that will confirm this.
Let's talk about Loic first.
Yeah,
so, he was at Davos. Because all they told me was no comment. That
Davos,
was
which is the World Economic Forum, right? Sheryl Sandberg is there.
Scoble went once.
Scoble's still there. Scoble goes every year. Scoble, Bono, Mick Jagger, and...
Because they're all on the plane.
I thought they roused Scoble because he was annoying.
He isn't.
No, he was up going, filming everybody with a camera.
Everybody's there. I don't know. I thought Scoble went this year.
I thought he went once and then... because
they never
let
him back?
Because he's always, hi, I'm Robert Scoble. Well, who are you? And he's pointing the camera in their face.
Hey, what's your name? I love Robert. Anyway,
We all love Robert.
Anyway, Loic says to Sheryl, congratulations on the IPO. Because he's trying to get, he's a good...
Says, on the internet or with his words?
No, face-to-face, talking to her.
Do you want to be him or do you want...
Well, I'm going to read his post because I don't know. I wasn't there, so
I
don't
have... You guys going to do a little play here?
There's, no video of it. But basically, he says she gave him a very broad, happy smile. Not like she didn't say anything.
F-you smile?
No,
I'm going to be so rich.
I am rich, baby.
Yeah, okay.
Like she didn't deny, not like a smile, like I can't
smile
say
that
anything.
Smile that only comes from money.
Like that kind of smile. So that's not proof. I'm not saying it's
did
proof.
Did Loic tell you that?
He put it on Path. I probably shouldn't have repeated it. I have a...
But that isn't Path for, shared with a private small...
Yeah.
Now, Leo.
That's what happens when you put your private...
So now the whole internet knows that Sheryl Sandberg is really excited about Facebook's IPO. Well, they're filing.
She
said
not a word. But I'm thinking, I'm putting my money on it that it's this week that they will have an IPO. What do you think?
No, they won't. There's no way.
I was there.
You can't get the paperwork done in
I went to their new campus. It is as big as a shopping mall.
Not do the IPO, but
file.
Huge.
It's huge.
It's so huge. And the parking lot is like a daggone airport parking lot. It's enormous. Anyways, I was there. And I said, so, there's a tumor in whatever it was, Wall Street
called?
Journal. Yeah.
It's like, if it's a journal, it's a tumor.
Oh, it's a rumor and nobody knows. But we knew.
If it's news of the world, it's a rumor. But if it's a Wall Street Journal, it's a tumor.
Right. Bat boy, rumor.
Right.
Journal, slightly less.
News of the world in the U.S. is very different from news in the world in the U.K., by the way, Will.
So anyways, haven't we known for some time that the IPO was coming in 2012?
I think there's legal reasons they have to do it soon.
SEC-type reasons.
Yeah, they have to do it before.
Oh, it was because they got more shareholders.
Right.
Is it more than 5,000 shareholders? Because
they have at least that many
employees and ex-employees and then private shareholders who bought stock on the private secondary market.
Once you cross a threshold, the SEC requires you go public if you have enough shareholders.
And you know what? They hit that 500 shareholders limit before last spring, I happen to know.
So
they halted all sales of private stock. So they have to file. So if it's this week, it'll be like big friggin' surprise, worst kept secret in Silicon Valley. Whatever.
Now, when they file the IPO...
I want to know why we're talking about this.
Well, this is a huge story. This is going to be the biggest tech IPO since Netscape.
Mm.
Wouldn't you want to get in on this?
No.
Would you not want to buy stock? No?
No. You know, really? I invest for the long term. I mean, I'm not a day trader type. I invest in things that are going to be valuable in 30 years.
It's going to be valuable tomorrow. It's going to be valuable in five hours after it goes on.
Yeah, but who knows? Because the thing about tech stock, you never know when it's going to take that turn. You can't anticipate it. You can't predict it.
No, you sell it the next day.
I can't speculate that. You know, it's on
Look, Will Harris just made millions of dollars selling his company. He knows all about it. I don't know how much you made.
If you are a Goldman's customer,
you would know. You can extrapolate.
I can't extrapolate. I don't know how much I owned.
You can extrapolate.
We're talking about your hammer.
What percentage did he have, Will?
People. If you had Goldman,
just wondering.
Goldman, and if you were in that IPO, you could get pre-IPO stock, and you could flip it maybe 10 seconds after it IPOs for double the amount it's going to be.
Exactly.
It's going to double within 30 seconds.
And that's why it's so reprehensible that the companies, I think Morgan Stanley is going to be the lead underwriter with Goldman Sachs playing a secondary role. That means that if you are a special customer of these brokerages, you often get, what do they call it? There's a word.
Bribery.
Like a sweetheart deal.
Yeah, you get a, you
it's
get
a
to
sweetheart
buy in.
Deal.
Yeah. You get to buy in before it hits the open market, which is, means you're buying in at the strike, the initial
strike price.
Price,
right.
And the initial price is on a hot.
Oh now, yeah, it'll last for 10 seconds.
Now with Groupon, you might have lost a lot of money, but Google, it was tripled within.
If you bought Groupon at the IPO offer,
you still made money.
Well, you were an idiot.
You still made 30 or 40% within a couple of minutes.
Right.
But I mean, capitalism isn't supposed to be fair, is it? I mean, the rich get richer, and that's what
It's supposed to be fair.
So the company reportedly seeking to raise
capitalism isn't.
Sorry, go ahead.
This is crony capitalism.
This is your show.
Yeah, this is crony capitalism.
Yeah.
Crony capitalism
is not fair. Because of who you know, you get special access to the money.
Yeah.
That is not what capitalism is. You're supposed to work hard. Create a value, innovate.
You still think that?
And the market.
It's a fact.
The market will reward.
Just because it doesn't work.
I'm liking it. The old hippies coming
Sachs out. And Morgan
no,
I'm. Stanley, I'm you've pitched for the business. So, in a sense,
how am I naive? Sorry.
So, but this is, by the way, why I thought it was very interesting. Google, remember, did an auction. I think they avoided this kind of crony capitalism. They did a very interesting deal with a San Francisco firm, and I'm forgotten the name.
It was Hambrecht.
Hambrecht, yeah, Hambrecht and Quist. And,
no, it was just Hambrecht.
Just Hambrecht.
It was Hambrecht's
operation. Bill's all by himself now. And it was a very clever way of avoiding, and they wanted to avoid this whole issue of insider.
Here's the problem that you run into. These companies get screwed by the system. Because you,
well, that's
you,
the other side of it.
Yeah, that's the main part of it. You have you bring out an IPO worth $10 million, let's say, and the stock triples, making the offering potentially worth $30
million. Right.
So you want to do it as a Dutch auction, so you get all that money instead of some speculators who just get in early and they make a quick killing. These firms don't like that, of course, because they can't give their buddies some deal. And that's why they're not, Dutch auctions, you don't see them that often.
Well, I was actually looking up a Dutch auction. I take it has nothing to do with the Dutch.
Dutch.
Is it like a
Dutch
oven or something?
It's Google's, which was back in 2004, was the largest IPO ever, $1.9 billion. Facebook's talking about $10 billion.
Yeah, it seems a little high.
Google did, in fact, because of this auction, they thought they were going to go off at $108 to $135. They ended up going off at $85 a share. But, of course, what is Google now? Almost 600, something like that. 400?
No, it's 6-something.
Yeah.
It may be under 6
and
now.
And there may even have been splits in between then. So,
no.
It's
Google's never done a split.
579.
Yes,
all right.
Sir.
They've never done a split.
So, Facebook's, if they do $10 billion, would value the company at between $75 and $100 billion. Does that sound right?
No. Yeah.
Oh, God, who can tell?
Yes, no,
no.
Who can tell?
Well, same
who
thing.
Can tell slash
it's a tie, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I'm going to break the tie. I'm going to break the tie. They're worth twice that.
Okay, good for
they
you.
They are, it's hard to imagine a world in which Facebook is not hugely valuable.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like
I can imagine that world.
5 years from now, I can too. I can imagine 5 years before now.
Well, I'm not saying it's not risky.
It will wax and wane it's just not, like all technology
I'm
companies.
I'm not saying it's not risky because... of course, MySpace disappeared when Facebook showed up.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's a barrier to entry that gets bigger and bigger.
I'm not going to argue the point.
Yeah.
It will become irrelevant when you least expect it.
Will, why do you think it's worth so much?
Because I think they're only just getting started.
That's what I think, too.
I think if you look at what Facebook has achieved in, what, the last 4 years, and you look at what Google achieved in the 4 years after IPO... Like, I remember when Google IPO'd and it was like, really? $85? Like, that's a lot of money for that, for like a search engine stock. And, you know, of course, if you bought it then, you know, 10 years later or whatever it is, you're laughing. So I think Facebook is just getting started.
I would honestly
think it could go to 2, 3, 4 times that in the next decade.
I would agree in one way and not in the other. Of course, they've got 800 million members. You can't get much bigger. There's only, 2 billion people on the internet? Not even that. So they've almost got everybody.
They're saturated.
But what you haven't...
Yeah, but if you look at what Google... If you look at what Facebook does in terms of monetization...
That's where they've just gotten started.
They are massively under-monetized. Exactly.
Well, they're also just getting started with Facebook credits. And I think from talking to them, I think that's their biggest area of opportunity. Ads are going to become...
I agree.
Maybe even secondary as Facebook credits. You know, we think of them as something you use to play Farmville. Eventually, they'll be something you can use in the real world to buy bread.
It's cash. They will own the new currency. Are you kidding? And it'll be a global currency. It's the next euro. No, I agree with you 100%, Will. They've saturated...
I hope it's not the next euro.
Well, let's hope it's better than that. They've saturated the potential audience, but they've barely skimmed
the surface of screwing them out of their money.
Yeah,
they're going
to start squeezing us till they get every drop of goodness. Excellent. So will this Mark Zuckerberg, this guy is going to be, he's got what, 5%? He's got a big stake in Facebook.
No,
still.
Zuckerberg's got at least 25%.
25%.
Does he?
So this guy's going to be immediately Warren Buffett class billionaire. He's going to be one of the top five richest people in the world. Immediately. Like, boom. Is it going to change Facebook, though? He's always said, I don't want investors. I don't want a board. Outside investors.
Yeah, he's got one now.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to keep Facebook private, and certainly he has very much influenced the direction of Facebook. He's been able to run that company. Is it going to change it?
Yeah, I think big time. In fact, my son, who's a student of Facebook, and Zuckerberg in particular, says that as far as he's concerned, Zuckerberg is a genius, and they're taking away his power very slowly. There's a lot of new ideas showing up on Facebook that are definitely not Zuckerberg's ideas, and they're going to end up screwing it up because Zuckerberg's not a very aggressive person. He's like an Asperger's guy. He's almost like a Bill Gates character.
Definitely.
And he's going to lose control.
I think that's exactly right. I think the one thing that Zuckerberg has always been very canny about doing is making incremental changes and doing things quite slowly. You know, it's taken a long time for Facebook monetization to get to where it is now, to the point, you know, do we just have ads now in the news feed? Yeah. I'm like, that's been a long time coming.
And I admire that.
The thing is, you can do that when you're a private company. Right. When you're a public company, you know, as we were saying earlier,
fiduciarily bound.
It's like, right, now you have a fiduciary duty to make as much money as humanly possible as quickly as possible. And that could be a massive step change for Google, for Facebook.
I think so. And I think maybe not a change for the best. So maybe you're right, Jolie.
Well, how long did it take Google to make that change from making good products that people love to making products that are kind of
not too long,
kind of creepy maybe a little bit?
So maybe...
It took them at least, I would say, a few years.
So I don't think they're making creepy products.
You just said
you
were nobody's fanboy, and I like Google.
No, that's somebody there said I'm nobody's fanboy. I'm a big fanboy of this navigation product on the Google phone.
Yeah, I agree. That one works.
Like when you pull up and there's a picture of the building.
I know. Isn't that neat?
Yeah, but it's also creepy. That's creepy.
It's creepy.
But it is cool.
Especially if you can see people coming out to greet you.
It's cool and creepy at the same time.
It is.
Yeah.
That's Google right in a nutshell.
Well, that's going to be Facebook. Already is Facebook a little bit.
Yeah.
Cool and creepy at the same time.
Yeah.
And then something better is going to come along.
Sting in the chat room says that Mark Zuckerberg is going to end up like Jerry Yang.
Oh, that's sad.
That could happen. Kind of takes himself out of the picture.
So a lot of people like Sheryl Sandberg will become billionaires probably. You know who's going to become a billionaire? Sean Parker has 5% of Facebook. That's three to 20 billion.
You know what's cool, Leo?
What?
$1 billion.
He said that in the movie, didn't he? You're absolutely right. He got his billion.
Well,
It's kind of amazing. If you step back a little bit and from we're really in it, and you know, there's we all have opinions about Facebook and privacy and what kind of person Zuck is and all of that stuff.
Zuck?
I call him Zuck.
Oh, okay.
We're allowed. If you eat the meat, you get to call him Zuck.
Zuck.
So if you take all that away and you just think that this was a company started by a Harvard sophomore, about 10 years ago, right?
And no, the value, not even that.
Not even that.
No.
And the value that has been created by this one company in such a short time is stunning. And it could only happen in this technology. There's no factory spewing smoke. There's no Chinese indentured servants. It's almost a virtual company. It's bits, and the value that he's created out of nothing is mind-boggling.
Can we have a clip of that?
Sure,
clip that thing.
I mean all of the other stuff aside, it really is truly incredible.
It's inspiring, and you also have to think about the environmental impact. If you don't want to talk about that, that's okay.
Servers, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are doing a lot in this in the way of, you know, data
center
optimization.
They're trying to do greener
servers,
but yeah.
They are. And they're doing really good work with their open sourcing of their hardware specs. But I think, you know, there are always underbellies, and when you are building a company monumental as that,
I would submit that's almost a sunk fixed cost, because if it weren't Facebook, it would be somebody else. Is people who are using the internet are using a lot of power. But if they weren't using Facebook, they'd be using. I don't think.
No, if they weren't using Facebook, they'd be outside riding their bicycles.
I disagree.
Facebook invites
Facebook
you to and
makes
games
us
you
use
to.
It more?
Yeah, are you kidding?
So
are you silly?
Because
of course they do. That's their number one thing that they want to do. They want to get you to spend more time on the site so they can understand you and serve you ads. That's their fiduciary responsibility.
I understand. They're wildly successful at that. But you think that absent Facebook, we wouldn't be even on the internet?
We wouldn't be on the internet as much. Maybe 10 to 20%
Some people are
less.
On Facebook all the time. They're just on Facebook.
It's what they do, and it's how they connect with their friends.
Well, if that's the case, then you're absolutely right. Facebook has a
responsibility. If it weren't for Facebook, you would be seeing your friends in person.
So there is a...
Driving to see them. In my fuel-burning car.
There is a study that just came out, just being reported today out of Stanford, and they're finding a reverse correlation between people who are on Facebook a lot and their social life that's deteriorating by the minute.
Well,
the more you're on Facebook, the more of a introverted... a weirdo you become.
No,
it could be destroying the country.
So
that's you old fart's definition of a social life. My social life is great. I'm hanging out with my friends in Farmville. I'm fighting dragons in Skyrim.
I mean, count me as an old fart. I mean, I have a wonderful time with my
that's
friends.
That's what we have you on.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Especially
yay.
With Dvorak.
Yeah,
two
that's
go
what
together.
You... Yeah, you can just
I'm
see that.
Surrounded
under
by old farts.
It's not going to happen.
Young and old farts. Yeah, it's a really interesting point, Julia, that I... actually, I hadn't really thought about that. You think that Facebook
I
could
challenge
say,
you, go without Facebook for a few days and see
oh,
how
I
much.
I do it all the time. But I use Google Plus. I use other
time.
Stuff.
Okay.
Look, I'm online all the time, so I can't judge.
You're a mess, sir.
I'm a mess. But okay. But I do think it's an interesting supposition that without Facebook, we'd use the internet, you say, 20% less?
10 to 20, I think, the average person.
Chat room, does that sound right? Would you use the internet 20%
less? Yeah, does my bald speculation based on nothing sound right to
asking
you guys?
Asking the chat room is nuts.
They live in the chat room.
Yeah, these guys are completely...
they use it all the time.
Yeah.
Most of these guys can't even find the front door of their house
I'm
anymore.
I'm seeing yes, no.
I would bet at least half of them are wearing catheters right now.
With Diet Coke going in.
No, I'm just curious. I mean, you're right. The chat room probably, because these guys, these are hardcore, guys and gals are hardcore internet users, probably absent Facebook. But I don't know if you can blame Facebook for all of that extra internet use. I don't know if that, I think we would use the internet in some other way. If Facebook hadn't been created, we would have had it.
Not without the mechanisms they've created to keep you on. They have very, very powerful mechanisms to keep you on and to get your friends to sign up for it, too.
You agree, Will?
I think one of the most important things about Facebook over the next sort of 5 years, the next phase of Facebook, is actually the sort of mass decentralization of Facebook. So whilst we think about Facebook now as something you go on and do.
Right. Facebook everywhere.
I think Facebook now is going to start to be like just something that is, you know, it's you're somewhere on the web and, you know, it's already that you're commenting on Facebook. You're logged in to get your personalized preferences for a particular site on Facebook. You know, somebody in the chat room was saying, you know, what's the bet that Facebook credits will be legal tender in 7-Eleven, you know, within the next 5 years?
I think so.
So Facebook is not going to be something that you do. It's just going to be something that's just part of your life, like your wallet or your, your phone.
Yeah, well, and Will, what you're talking about, that's exactly what they're going
that's
for.
That's their strategy.
That's their business.
Facebook everywhere.
To make Facebook
is
the internet
my wallet.
Synonymous. They want it to be all the same.
I, well, for Google's one, welcome the leaders from Facebook.
I love,
the balance.
You know what?
Brian in the chat room says that I'm nuts.
No.
Fair enough.
In Zuck we trust.
I admit it's working on me because, remember, I left Facebook about a year ago because I was so upset with their privacy policy.
You quit it?
I quit, and I came back, and now I love it.
Did they give you the shot? Or the chip.
What shot?
Okay.
I love Facebook.
He scanned for chips, so it has to be the shot.
You know what I really like?
Maybe it was the shock therapy.
And they turned this on this week. Everybody's getting Timeline. I love Timeline.
It is pretty, isn't it?
It's more than pretty.
A lot
it's
of people hate Timeline.
Who hates Timeline?
People.
Only people
everyone.
Hate life.
Okay, I talked to the guy who designed it, one of the guys who led the design team for it, and he said that they looked
at... Sam Lesson.
I love him.
Sam
He's
is the
adorable.
Greatest guy in the world.
He said that they looked at scrapbooks and, like, physical mementos, you know, that are strongly tied
this
to memory
like
and reminiscence.
Scrapbook.
It is. It's supposed
it's
to make you nostalgic.
It does.
Why
back.
Do you want to be
Look,
made nostalgic?
I go all the way back to my birth
people
on
live
this.
In the past.
And you can see me as a baby with
oh,
my
we
dad.
Don't want to
oh,
see you
you're
as
such
a
cute baby.
Baby.
Oh. I want to see that.
See?
I don't want to see it.
But I would submit this, and I would ask Sam about it. By the way, Sam is
You are such a cute baby. I'm
Sam is a great guy to run.
You don't even know that's really him.
Yeah, I just,
it's you're
just
put, right.
They put up a bunch of phony pictures.
Photo. My naivete got the best
photo.
Of me, John.
Stock photo stock from the Chicago Sun-Times.
Look, if you go to 2003, you'll find a picture of me from the screensavers. So here's the thing that I find interesting, and I would love what Sam's take on this. By the way, if you ever get a chance to play werewolf, he's a great werewolf leader, Sam.
Oh,
is.
Yeah?
Here's my question. That's 2003. So that's
wow, what happened?
I looked good then. So I would bet that the only people who ever look at the Facebook timeline are the people whose timeline it is.
Or if they're stalking you.
Or if they're like somehow evil and creepy. But it's not normal. I would never go to John's timeline and browse it.
Unless you were stalking me,
yeah.
Which seems highly unlikely. Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, what if you met someone new, you know, and you were, you know, intrigued by this person?
That would be
for
very
one reason
much
or another.
A reason
if
to
you're
do
an
it.
Employer,
yes,
or if you're someone's
yes
stalker, I don't know,
stalker, yeah.
future loved one, but it's very intimate.
Future
so
loved
strike,
one,
it is.
Future. I'm not a stalker. I'm your future loved one.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, how would you like
that's
that?
That's not creepy at
and
all.
And then they have a shrine in their closet with your pictures all over it.
But you
or
know
just
what?
A spare netbook this, with your timeline.
Is this so different from what
that's
we do
the,
anyway?
This is the modern shrine. She nailed it.
It's yeah. a shrine
it's
to
a
me.
It's a shrine.
Just get some candles, man.
Mm. But, you know, look, we just finished our baby book. My son is 19 years old. My wife, or 17 years old, finally finished his baby book. Because that's how long. I mean, it's like finally gets around to it. Mm. Who's going to look at that? Nobody's ever going to look at that.
Your again. Wife.
That's right.
You.
It's a very limited,
sister,
narrow audience.
Sister.
No, she
stalkers and employers
and stalkers,
really.
Employers
and the employers part. That's one where you get back to teens and consequences, and you have to really carefully trim down what's in your
well.
Timeline.
What's kind of weird about this is
drop out
I, for the. I've put so much stuff now in my Facebook timeline that they're actually abridging it. They're cutting stuff out. They're like saying, if
"What
you
does
wanna,
that tell you, Leo?
If you want to see more, click here." Because frankly, there's way too much crap in this. So I don't know. But I love this.
I used to be a radio host.
Yeah, then I
that's
got shot
cute.
In the knee with an arrow.
Uh-huh.
The thing I love. Okay, so here, this is.
We don't want to see that picture.
No, but this
what
is.
What kind of a picture is this? This is not a good picture. This is not flattering.
No, but look, this
looks
is
like a butcher or something. You're going to, the guys, you're going to just, you're choking someone.
It looks like Sweeney Todd a little bit.
It does.
Right.
And somebody put in here, turned this into an Angry Birds. This is why I went to that.
Your picture. Head?
Yeah.
Is the Angry Bird?
It's the beginning.
Oh, that's pretty
the
cool.
The starting point for an Angry Bird. Huh. You ready? This is from Mark Jefferson. He calls it Angry Leo's.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
that's
it.
That's great.
Da-da-dum-dump. Da-da-dum-dump. Da-da-da-da-da-da-dum-dump. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to. Wait a minute. I got to do the eyebrows.
There it is.
Okay. We're going to take a break. Come back with more.
Screen capture.
I love Facebook. Don't you all love Facebook?
Who's giving you stock now?
Yeah, he's trying. It's too late.
Too late. I don't take. You know what? I am.
He doesn't take stock except from
by accident. I took stock from one guy.
Pals.
It made me rich, and
slipped,
I don't know.
Fell
what
and
to
landed
do.
On some.
Well,
stock.
I think you should just sell the company.
I
while
slipped
you're at
and
it.
Fell. The stock fell off a truck, and no. Anyway, thank you, Will, for making me a wealthy, wealthy
I used
man.
To ignore tech stocks, but then I took an arrow to the knee.
Hey, let's take you to audible.com, which is one of my favorite places to get some reading done. Audible is a bookstore of audiobooks. It's the best ever. If you go to audible.com/twit2 right now, you could sign up for two books. Hey, John, when you go into my office... There's something on my bookshelves you might want. That's actually somebody sent it for you. Okay. Just this is like an I spy with my little eye. Just look around and see if there's something that would just jump out at you as obviously intended for John C. Dvorak. We'll see if he sees it.
Clorox handy wipes.
Not the Clorox handy wipes.
Is it a MacBook Air?
It's a copy of OS 10, IBM's, not OS 10, IBM's OS 2, which John was a big OS 2 fan. So let's see if John finds it. Can we see a camera to see if he's looking in there? It's kind of dark in there, but I'm wondering if he's looking around.
He's...
Nope. Keep looking. It's something you loved way back when, John. Way back when. He's looking around. He's searching. It might be on the bookshelf there, John. Meanwhile, back to audible.com. So 100,000 books now, audiobooks. And I tell you, and you've heard me talk about this. I just started listening to the new Stephen King, 11/22/63. I love time travel stories. This is a great one. No, not the scotch. Although if you want to bring that out, you could. Keep looking, John. Do you think he'll find OS 2 Warp? It's a sealed box just for him. That's all right. Go back to Audible. That's fine. Audible.com/twit2 will sign you up. Go ahead and help him find it. Is there anybody around that can help him find it? I think it's on the bookshelf there. OS 2 Warp in a sealed box. Audible is going to... Look at John. Nope, that's not it. There's a lot of stuff in there. It's kind of jammed with stuff. On the bookshelves, John. No.
Are those yellow clogs?
Those are yellow clogs. Mm. Very good.
And is that a Linus penguin? Linux
it is.
Penguin?
It's a Linux. It's Tux. In fact,
Tux,
there's two.
That's his name.
There's two Tuxes. If you look on the other side of the bat, there's a Tux clock. That's all right. I'll find it for you in a second, John. Where was I? Audible.com/twit2. You can sign up there for two books. That's the Platinum account. Two books a month. First month's free. And you get two books, and they're yours to keep forever. Cancel at any time. Pay nothing if you like. Adam Leshinsky's new book just came out. Actually, this is my next read. I can't wait to read this. Inside Apple. That's a good choice. Not the one I was thinking of. But I will go get it for you in a second.
Sure you will.
Inside Apple, How America's Most Admired and Secretive Company Really Works. This one is, everybody's been waiting for this one. Just came out a couple of days ago. And the nice thing about Audible now is they're getting the audio the same day as the book comes out. And I'll tell you, I'm thrilled because this is, I don't have time to read books. I fall asleep, but I have an hour in the gym every day. I have time driving in the car. I have time cleaning the house. And that's when I get reading done. Sometimes a couple hours a day of reading. And I just love that. Audible.com/twit2 plays on your iPod, your iPhone, your Zune, your Kindle. If you've got audio on the Kindle, many GPS devices. It's just fantastic. Audible.com/twit2. Two books for free. Give it a try today. And we thank Audible so much for their support of this week in tech. You never found it.
If it wasn't for you, Audible would not be the company it is today.
Oh, you just say things like that to make me feel bad. Because then I feel like, gosh, why aren't I making more money or something?
You're making tons of money.
Amazon bought them, and I think they've done very well since then.
You know, you didn't get any stock from them, though, unfortunately.
So, a couple of interesting stories out of... No, I can't. I don't, and I won't, and because I don't, it's a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. A couple of interesting stories out of Twitter. First of all, they released information about DMCA takedown notices, 4,410 in 2011.
Yeah, what's the name of that website they pointed everyone
Chilling
to?
Effects.
Yeah, there's something about this kind of
thing. They actually pointed people to Chilling Effects, which is, I think, kind of interesting. Chilling Effects is an Electronic Frontier Foundation website that basically the premise of it is, what are the chilling effects of these laws? What's the impact of these laws? Sure, the DMCA allows companies like Twitter and YouTube to have safe harbor. In other words, not to be held liable for pirated content or whatever that's on their services, provided they offer a mechanism so that the companies that own the rights can say, hey, get that off of there. And Twitter does it. YouTube does it. Even Mega Upload did it, although it didn't protect Mega Upload. And so here are all the cease and desist notices for 2011 up here from Magnolia Pictures, from Simon & Schuster. What are they links to? They're links to pirated content, I guess.
Not always. Not always. It could be a link to somebody else pointing to pirated content.
That's right.
That one kid was busted for that.
That's right. You're not even allowed to link to a link.
Some kid in England linked to a link, and the U.S. requires him to be extradited. The guy's never been to the United States.
Oh, man.
It's a disgusting story, and the Brits do nothing about it. Right, Will? What have you done to help this poor kid?
Uh-huh. I blame Will.
What have we ever done to do anything?
Well, how about ACTA? Has ACTA been approved now in Great Britain? Because I know it's about to be approved worldwide.
So it's now in the running, right?
25 of the 27 EU countries have now approved it. But I think the EU has to approve it as well. I mean, like the Congress has to approve it.
The Parliament.
The sort of European
Parliament.
Union.
Yeah.
There's like three different divisions.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of these.
So ACTA is the very sneaky SOPA that is done as a treaty instead of as a law.
Yeah.
And in fact, get ready for this, it probably will be made the law of the land in the U.S., not by Congress, not by the Senate, which normally approves treaties, but by executive order.
Yeah, it works.
So
we have a king running the country, so you might as well just make executive orders all day and all night.
Obama says, yes, we can.
Well, Ron Wyden's fighting this. Ron Wyden's really upset about the fact that ACTA and other true treaties are not approved by the Senate. So ACTA is an international trade agreement negotiated by the European Union, the United States, Japan, mm-hmm. Canada, South Korea, Australia, Mexico, Morocco, Singapore. Canada's involved. It essentially gives you the Three Strikes Act. It gives you lack of due process and shutting down so-called pirate sites. It is the backdoor SOPA.
Yeah, and I like the three strikes thing. Let's start taking people's internet access away.
Yeah, just because we don't like them.
Well, that's been part of bills like this for, since the internet became a place where you would trade pirated content.
So if you're interested, I urge you to go to EFF.org and read up on ACTA and why you should care about it. ACTA has several features that raise concerns for privacy, for civil liberties, for the free flow of information on the internet.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. We're finishing up on the golden age of the internet.
I think you might be right.
And we might as well enjoy it while we can, because in the future, and the public doesn't care, because as long as they can get to Facebook and Amazon, they're good to go.
The only thing you can do at this point is to petition the White House not to make it an executive order and tell members of Congress, actually not even members of Congress, because it's the Senate now to be responsible. Tell your senators to demand the right to review ACTA and then not to approve it.
Yeah.
Good luck. Surely, I mean, given that Obama came out and said that if SOPA got passed, he wouldn't sign.
Yeah. He also said he wouldn't sign.
You can't turn around and then say.
Yes, he can. He said he wouldn't sign the National Defense Authorization Act, which provided for
militarization of the U.S. in total.
Yeah, and indefinite incarceration.
No habeas corpus. Just pick somebody up, throw them in jail.
Repealed habeas corpus. So here's what's going to happen, John. This is my thought, and I'd love to hear what your thoughts are.
Wow.
All of you.
I've got this Microsoft thing here with all these URLs that they've gotten a cease and desist on. It's unbelievable. For days.
You're at Chilling Effects. It's fascinating. Yeah. It's a great website. Must read. It goes for days.
Yeah, it goes down to China.
So here to me is what I think will happen. I don't think the internet will go away. I agree. We've had a golden age of apps of free.
Yeah, no, it's not going anywhere. It's just going to be different.
I think there will be this kind of now bowdlerized, protected internet that most people will use. But I believe the internet is self-healing, and geeks want free flow of information. I think what's going to happen is you're going to get a second tier. You're going to have a black internet. You're going to have just as you have a black market, you're going to have an internet that you, if you were smart, this is what happened in China. In China, there's the internet everybody uses that doesn't allow Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. But if you're in the literati, if you're digitally literate, you can get on all of those. You know how to get on all of those. And I suspect that that's what's going to happen. What do you think?
We're going to have a subclass of pseudo hackers. A la The Matrix or Usenet or something.
Well, and it's a little scary, and it should be more. Frankly, if these rights holders thought about it, this is exactly what they don't want. Because right now, they have some tools. They have the DMCA. It is in public, but as soon as it's a dark net, anything goes.
That's a fascinating idea. I never thought of that kind of dystopian.
Well, there are a lot of hackers of this mentality.
And I'm Leon, one of them.
Yeah, well, you're kind of one of them. Well, you are one of them. Just take a look at that rig you've got over there.
There you go. That's analog, baby. But already hackers, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, are putting satellites up so they have satellite access. Will, do you think this is crazy?
I don't think it's crazy. I wonder if it's, you know, a forced evolution. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I wonder if it will lead to, you know, there are so many structural flaws with the internet. I wonder if a sort of rebuilding from the ground up of something that's better will lead to, you know, you build something that's got security built in and, you know, anonymization. And you, if you were going to design the internet from scratch again now, you could probably do a better job of it. And so I wonder if this will be the catalyst for sort of a next generation of evolution.
Well, wow, you're blowing my mind now, Will.
I'm pretty sure that, you know, with Internet 2 and some of this other stuff, we're definitely going to always have a couple of alternatives to the internet. So why wouldn't we just do something like that? You know, or just let the other one split into pieces. I still think what's going to – I think the real scenario here is, first of all, we go into a nationalization of the internet country by country. That way you don't have a any problems within Saudi Arabia about anything because it's essentially a closed system. We have one here, and the thing that's going to kind of diminish everything, even though you have people like yourself and Leo and others, is the fact that the public at large doesn't care. They will have their three or four things. Nobody goes. It's like people that when remember when PCs first came out, they did some studies and it turned out that people only downloaded or installed three or four extra programs besides the one that they got on their PCs. They don't do all this stuff. There's very few people that, and in fact, I think the number is getting smaller that are involved in anything more than just the basics. And we were just stalling for Leo.
I can't find it. You're right not to find it. I don't know where it went. It was OS2 Warp in a sealed package.
Ooh.
Which I know you would love.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Somebody sent it to us, and I don't know where it's gone.
It belongs in the Smithsonian.
Believe it does.
I think it was Jerry.
It was the IBM operating system that John was a big advocate for. And somebody sent it to me, sealed in the box, and it's disappeared. So I think one of my staff members actually thought it was, you know, something you might want.
Or junk.
Or they threw it away.
What's this?
Anyway, but no, I think this is a great... a conversation. I think this is what's going to happen.
Well, Leo, if that does happen, I mean, what you and Will are talking about is like, okay, we're going to have a separate non-internet, internet-like thing that will allow digitally literate people to access information freely.
And it's going to be better because all those Facebook weirdos will be gone.
But that's not what the internet is not for the digitally literate. It's for everybody. I mean, did you read Vint Cerf's op-ed in the New York Times? Yes. It's not a civil right. It's not a human right. But it gives you access to those things.
I agree 100%.
When you limit that access,
I'm not advocating this.
Just to geeks,
I'm not advocating this. Why you have to fight SOPA. Why you have to fight people. Why you have to fight ACTA.
SOPA. Do you think we can get people to fight ACTA after fighting SOPA?
But
it's hard to get people interested.
They only fight one or two things.
So
and
I
give
believe.
Up.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is what should happen, but I think it's what's going to happen.
So who do we need to call? Do we need to call the White House or do we need to call our senators or both?
So there
about
are,
ACTA,
you can go to whitehouse.gov and there are petitions on whitehouse.gov.
Are there?
That, you know, in the petition section, one of the petitions is President Obama, do not sign ACTA. Let the Senate have something to do with it. Let me see if I can find it because that's
also the thing. If you're in Europe, the thing you can do is write to your European member of parliament.
So, yes, because they have to approve it, and you can get
they
that.
Have to approve it. So even though most of the countries in the EU, apart from Germany and a couple of others, have approved it at a national level, it still has to be approved at the European level by the European Parliament. So if you write to your European Member of Parliament and tell them to don't be so idiotic, you know, there's still a chance that's going to happen in June. So writing campaign between now and June if you're in Europe.
You know, it may not be on the White House site. I guess it's not on the White House.
Whitehouse.gov/petitions, I think.
See if it's there.
Let's see.
We could put it up there if not. The main idea is to get the president to say, I am not going to pass this by executive order.
What would be his rationale?
Well, that's the problem. His rationale is maybe to get elected because we do have an election coming up in November.
That's
I just
true.
Think if this is how SOPA and PIPA worked, we scared members of Congress into thinking they were going to lose their constituency. It's the only choice you've got at this point is to really make this an urgent thing. And the reason
so would you not vote for Obama if he signed? Because you're an Obama guy.
I am.
Would you not vote for Obama?
Absolutely not.
You'd vote for him?
No, I'd absolutely not vote for him. The problem
is, would you do? Stay home? Would you vote for the Republican?
I'm not going to vote for Newt Gingrich.
Well, he's not going to get in.
Is. We'll have this talk later.
Do you want some money? But some money on the table.
Mitt Romney?
Yeah.
I'm not going to vote for
Republicans
him
are never going to vote for him.
I'll vote for Ron Paul as a write-in.
Well, that's a good idea.
And that's why Obama's going to win. Sorry. Because everybody who would want Ron Paul to be on the Republican ticket, they're not going to see that happen.
No, I agree.
And Newt Gingrich is going to be up there being all Newt
We got to put some money on this.
Actually, I'd vote for Gary Johnson. I would vote
for Gary Johnson.
Okay, let's get back on the topic.
It is germane because what's happening is that all the money coming out of Hollywood is influencing everybody right up into the White House.
But here's the thing, Leo. If you elect Newt Gingrich, he can build a new internet on the moon.
That would be good. All right, maybe I'll vote for him.
Let's go to back to the story.
And by the way, somebody said, and they're absolutely right, because I live in California, it doesn't matter who I vote for.
True.
And actually, if you live in California, it doesn't matter if you call your senators, really, because it's so funny that we have all the entertainment here and a lot of the technology talent here. And last I checked, our two senators do not plan on not supporting legislation that helps the entertainment industry by censoring private citizens.
Because Feinstein and Boxer are getting a lot of money.
They're in the pocket.
From Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Here it is. It is on the WhiteHouse.gov site. We the people, please submit ACTA to the Senate for ratification as required by the Constitution. It is a trade agreement. Now, that's step one. And by the way, there are 4,549 signatures on there. It's easy to create an account and sign it. That's how many needed to reach a goal. But the goal is meaningless. What you got to do is everybody has to sign this, raise this issue. Ron Wyden in the Senate has been fighting for this. The Senate wants the right to see this. The thing about ACTA is it's been in secret the whole time. If it weren't for Michael Geist in Canada, who finally found the treaty itself and published it, we would never know about this. This has been a secret. This is one of them.
We do a lot of that.
You bet. And it's really shameful. And
so Eric Duckman in the chat room has got a list. Has got a link to a petition that's an active petition on the White House Gov that's got 35,000 signatures.
Yeah, that's already. That's the one we were pointing to. There's also some others on e-petitions, but do the one on WhiteHouse.gov. I think that the first step is to say you can't sign this as an executive order. Send it to the Senate. Second, then the next step is you got to petition.
Pressure the Senate.
Pressure
guys.
The hell out of the Senate.
They're more likely.
Unfortunately, not all of them are up for election. Only half of them. Thank you, Dan. End ACTA and protect our right to privacy on the internet.
Next story.
There's two of them.
I tried.
This is too bad. No. Oh, look at 35,000 on this one. So this reached its goal. So there are several anti-ACTA petitions.
Ah. Let's sign them all. Everybody on the internet should be signing them.
Sign them all! All right, moving along. Twitter, do we want to talk more about? Twitter has decided that they are going to allow individual nations to censor tweets.
I wrote a column about this in PC Magazine.
I think they have to, don't they?
Yeah. I think they do, too. I don't think they have a choice.
It's not a good thing. It's not something we praise.
It's not like that. I don't think they're, you know, I don't know.
Well, if you...
Individuals in those countries work around that, and the people who know how do.
You can write code, yeah. I mean, you don't have to write, the Shah's an idiot or whatever you'd put. I mean, a lot of these Middle Eastern countries, you can't say anything bad about their rulers.
Right. And that guy with the beard, I think he's dumb.
He's a dummy.
The dummy guy in the beard with the thing on his head. Don't like him. See, and then they would all know.
Generally, right? Yeah.
Generally speaking. I think you have to do this because you're operating in a nation. You have to abide by the rules of the nation. It's the same issue Google had in China. They had two choices, either adhere to the laws of China or withdraw. So Twitter has the same thing.
It's also an interesting one for France. So, for example, in France, there are all sorts of like anti-Nazi propaganda laws.
Right.
So,
Germany,
you know,
too.
It's not just sort of the Chinas and the Saudi Arabias.
That's a good point.
You know, European countries are quite big on it.
That's actually a good point. And I think it's just, unfortunately, or fortunately, it's just what you do.
But Twitter, I mean...
Who cares? It's Twitter.
It's Twitter. It's just like, hi, how you doing? Oh, yeah, we met this, you know, I mean, it's just mundane. I mean, who, you know...
Well, I mean, that Twitter would argue, if they were here, which they're not, that they have had some role in, like, political goings-on where there isn't free speech in the press and there isn't free speech, you know, on the radio in those countries, that they play, that they take over that role.
Yeah, they claim that.
They claim that, but then they say, okay, we'll play along with local censorship, so which one is it?
Facebook was huge in the Egyptian spring.
That's what they say.
Hey, there was a guy named his kid Facebook.
Was that a friend of yours?
No, a guy in Egypt. Huh. Yeah, a friend of mine.
Facebook. Hey, come here, Facebook.
I think we're going to wrap this up.
I can't even see naming a dog Facebook.
I think in Arabic it means
handsome.
Oh,
that story? Oh, that story just got bigger. I got an email from the
person.
All right,
let's talk about it. So Y Combinator, which is a startup school, a very good one, run by Paul Graham, one of their companies, one of their, you know,
alumni companies, yeah.
Qurebit. In fact, they Dave McClure put some money into them, apparently stole HTML code, images, and even linked back to 37 Signals for their website.
Now, 37 Signals, created, of course, by Jason Fried and DHH, the guy who created Ruby on Rails.
And
so if you're going to steal from somebody, steal go from big, man. Go big.
And Hanson's been tweeting nasty-ass tweets. He's been pissed.
I saw this. It was pointed out to me, and I thought, finally, a poop storm on the internet. It's my time to shine. So I wrote this lovely post about it. Now,
Qurebit says it was a mistake. We were testing.
Oh, they didn't say it was a mistake. They said, yeah, we stole it, but that's okay, right? We're so small. It's okay because it was just an A-B test, which is BS.
So what is an A-B test?
An A-B test is where I show you this phone and you decide which one you like better. And then we send 30,000 people and we send 15,000 to one phone and 15,000 to another. And the one that responds best wins. So if they had responded best to that design, then they would have gone with the stolen design.
Is Qurebit in the same business as 37 Signals? No.
No.
But they just stole their design.
They just stole the design and the images. And
yeah, they actually have links in the code to...
Yeah, the images were coming off of the 37 Signals server. Now, it gets better.
That's kind of creepy.
So the guy who founded, one of the co-founders for Qurebit, was on Twitter talking some trash to DHH, is not known for his pleasant demeanor.
Here's the tweet. It'll all be okay. Chill, dude.
Yeah, you don't go up to, you know, this very irascible personality and say, chill, dude. What are you getting so freaked out about?
Wow.
So then last night, someone sent me an anonymous email that Qurebit hadn't only stolen the images and the codes. They had a demo video where they stole music from a local San Francisco artist. Not like Metallica or somebody where they make millions of dollars. They don't care. A local independent artist. And then if you go to Twitter/randomrab, you can see it all going down where this guy says, yeah, they did steal my music for their demo video.
Oh,
they
man.
Didn't get in touch with me beforehand, and I'm asking them to take it down, and then they're trying to buy me out now. But he said it's sad to be put in the position of telling someone why it's wrong. You cannot convince the Qurebit guys that what they have done is wrong.
Yeah.
They think stealing is okay. And you know what? A lot of people think it's okay. A lot of the lean startup people think that this is perfectly fine behavior. No, you be lean by working harder than everybody else.
We're lean because we stole it
and
all.
And eating ramen because you're paying a designer. Jesus. On the friggin'.
Yeah. All right. She's through with you.
She's great. I love her.
She's angry.
That's a good story, though.
It is a great story. Mm-hmm. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Jolie O'Dell writes for VentureBeat. You can read all her stories there, VentureBeat.com. Look for her rock and roll singing on YouTube. And what else do you want to plug?
My book.
Your book? Oh, give me the book.
Please go buy my book.
Where can I find this book?
You can find it on Amazon. You can find it in bookstores. You can find it in some retailers that I'm not allowed to mention yet. It is on sale February 7th, but you can pre-order it now, and it is so much fun.
Look at this.
And informative, too.
And it's published by ILEX.
Mm-hmm.
And, I love the form. I love the design.
It's a nice book.
They spent some money on four color printing here.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
Gorgeous.
I spent so much time writing it. I thought it was going to be some big, dry technical manual, but they made it beautiful.
So if you're interested in using your phone, and it doesn't have to be Android, it could be any camera phone, right?
But if it has a lot of emphasis on Android apps.
On how to do it in Android. Okay.
Because when you're going to spend the money on an app, you want to know that it's a good one.
Oh, there's reviews of apps.
I spent so much money on apps to get those.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
And what camera phone did you like the best? I think
maybe the Evo.
The Evo's pretty good. Maybe. I don't like the 3D thing in the new one, but that's silly. I'm a big fan, actually, of the Galaxy S2, and your Nexus is pretty good.
I like this phone, and not only that, but I keep it with my keys in my pocket. And there's not a scratch on it.
That's amazing. How do they do that?
Wow, really?
It's because they use that Corning Gorilla Glass, which feels like plastic.
Right.
But it's actually some weird glass.
You keep your keys in your front pocket?
No, I usually, when the phone's in my pocket, the keys are in there bouncing off. And this phone's a year old, bouncing against keys. Not a scratch on it.
Jolie, where do you share your... You don't have a cell phone, so you don't share your photos.
She gave up.
I share my photography on Flickr.
Good.
Yep, it's all there. There's some good stuff.
Thank you, Jolie. JolieOdell.com, at JOdell on Twitter, right?
Jolie O'Dell.
Jolie O'Dell on Twitter.
Sir.
JOlie. John C. Dvorak is at Channel Dvorak. And No Agenda is every Sunday morning.
And
no
Thursday.
Show. And Thursday now, too.
No, it's always been on Thursday. You do this every time.
You know, we asked Adam to come on with you, and he said, I hate that son of a...
No, you could get Adam on next week during the
we'll
Super Bowl, because he doesn't care about football.
He doesn't care about football.
Yeah.
All right, good. We'll have him on. Anything else to plug? ChannelDvorak.com.
ChannelDvorak.com, Dvorak.org. I think I'm a PC Magazine, Market Watch. You can go there and you know, read some of these more recent columns. They're pretty interesting. And also the X3 show.
That's right.
And the Generation X3 show, which is the best show I think I've ever done.
That's
which is
new.
Yeah, I got three millennials,
yeah.
And we talk about topics of the day, and it's just like the baby boomer versus the millennials. It's the most fascinating show, especially when they talk about things like binge drinking and all these other
possibilities. I'm going to listen to that because I want to
GenerationX3.mevio.com.
Really kids don't know about binge drinking these days, I swear.
Oh, these guys do.
not like Jolie did in her day.
Like old salts.
In her day. Yeah. Oh,
you'd
man.
You'd be surprised.
Generation X3. Well, I don't have to listen to this. It's on Mevio if you want to find out. But you can just Google Generation
yeah,
X3.
Yeah, I think it's the most entertaining thing I've done for a while because I'm flabbergasted half the time.
You're stunned.
Like, wow. What?
Andres Preston, Dorian Douglas, and Eddie DeRosa with John. Fun. Will is still at Channel Flip. He's not going anywhere. ChannelFlip.com or at Will Harris with
I
one
see
L.
He's not wearing his wealth yet. No, I'm just sorry.
He's dressed exactly like Mark Zuckerberg. What are you talking about? That's the new wealth.
I guess
are you
so.
Wearing Adidas shower shoes?
No, I do have Converse, though, which is almost the same.
That's thing. Almost the same.
Yeah.
It's always great to hear
slave
from you.
Labor.
Will, thank you for being here. We'll get you back soon.
Always a pleasure. Yeah. At Will Harris on Twitter.
And congratulations on your success. I think that's fantastic. I'm very happy
thank
for you.
You.
Thank you all for being here. Let's see what's going on the week ahead. Tom Merritt.
Wow.
He's here.
Hey, thanks, Leo. I won't be around this week, but here are a couple of things that Sarah and I, as will be keeping an eye on Tech News Today. Monday, January 30th, D-Dive into Media kicks off with guests like Dick Costolo of Twitter, Jason Kilar of Hulu, singer Neil Young, and Martha Stewart, along with several others. Also on Monday, President Obama will be hanging out on Google+. Tuesday, January 31st,
yeah, right.
The Canon EOS C300 is set for release in Japan. Mm. The Crunchies will be awarded for categories like Best Location App, Best Cloud Services, Best Shopping App, and much more. And Google Wave goes read-only, just in case anybody's still reading it. Wednesday, February 1st, Dish will offer a 24-hour test drive for their tablet and smartphone streaming to anyone in the United States. And Connect for Windows becomes available for $249, which includes development software. Finally, Saturday, February 4th, happy 8th birthday to Facebook. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, wait, is he here? Where'd he go? I wanted to talk to him.
You just missed him. He just left for Hawaii. He's actually spending the week in Hawaii with his lovely wife, Eileen Rivera.
That was pre-recorded?
Nice. Look, there he is. He's gone.
Oh, man.
That was fast.
He packed and is out of here.
You got a back door in this place? What's the deal?
Boom. Boom. He is out of here. That's interesting. So it's Facebook's 8th birthday. That'd be an appropriate time to file for your iPhone.
Yeah, might as well.
Do it on your 8th
birthday. 8 years and billions. Wow.
Why not? We are, of course, next week's the Super Bowl, so we will start early next week. So if you like to watch live, normally the show's at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on twit.tv. Next week we'll start shortly after the radio show. It's about 2:15 probably, but tune in at 2 Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2100 UTC. If you'd like to watch live, of course, you don't have to because we make audio and video recordings available almost immediately. We're working on making that faster on iTunes and all the other places finer podcasts are found. Game On is coming up in just a little bit, our brand new gaming show with Brian Brushwood and Veronica Belmont. They are in the other room stripping down.
They were. I was back there. I saw that.
They're getting ready. They've got costumes. They've got characters. They've got gaming. It's going to be a lot of fun. You want to make sure you stay tuned. For Game On, our brand new gaming show, Episode 3 is on in moments. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you later. Another twit is in the can.
This is amazing.